Well, another year has arrived. Welcome 2023. What does this year hold? I have no idea. None. Nada. I know this. I'm going to have to get used to putting 2023 on things. It took me a whole year to get 2022 down, and now I've got to shift my thinking with a new last digit on the year. You know, in the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, I love Christmas, and I love the spirit of Christmas and all things Christmas, but I gotta tell you, there's a line in that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, that kind of creeps me out. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. I don't know about you, but the thought of being deep in sleep and being stared at creeps me out, okay? I don't mind knowing when I'm awake, but he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Yes, you better watch out. Better not pout. You know, a lot of money is spent and time trying to figure out the future. That's why psychics have business. That's why, you know, horoscopes are put in newspapers or online, you know, trying to find out the future. Well, I don't know about Saint Nick, but I do know that there is an expression in Scripture. You will find it in numerous Bible verses that absolutely fascinates me. Before the foundation of the world. Let me give you a few examples of some scriptures where you'll hear that. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking, and he says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Wow. Before the world was made, God had knowledge of these things. 1 Peter 1:20, Peter writes these words, "Jesus indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." In Revelation 13, verse 8, "All who dwell," this is after the rapture, during that 7-year tribulation period before Jesus comes back in Revelation 19. In Revelation 13, verse 8, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him." Speaking of this false Antichrist, this false Christ, they're going to worship him. "Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the book of life of the Lamb," there we go, "slain from the foundation of the world." You know, that phrase, "found before the foundation of the world," it shows the triune God's redemptive activity even before we read Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Do you realize that this is so vastly beyond my brain cells to comprehend, but that our salvation was planned even before Satan appeared on the scene in the Garden of Eden to tempt Adam and Eve? God knew what was going to happen. That is the amazing part about God, that he is all-knowing. He is omniscient. I cannot begin to wrap my mind around a being who is so magnificently awesome that he can know what's going to happen before it ever comes to be. If you'll take the Pew Bible, turn with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we're going to look at a passage that's going to tie into my message. John chapter 2, it's on page 1055. 1055, if you're following along in the Pew Bible. Something very interesting is happening here. Jesus is obviously on the earth. He has not gone to the cross yet. And yet, Jesus is definitely demonstrating that he was more than a man. You know, John's gospel, that's what John, you know, all each gospel writer was focusing on an aspect of Jesus. And the thing that the disciple John, who became the apostle John, is focusing on is Jesus is more than a man. That's why when you read the gospel of John, he will give you 7 miracles that Jesus performed, showing that a mere man could not do these things. It was God in the flesh. And so we read in John chapter 2, on page 1055, starting with verse 23. "Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man. For he himself knew what was in man." He knew what was going on within their minds. William MacDonald, he observed this about the passage: "This does not necessarily mean that these people that are believing in the signs of Jesus actually committed their lives to him in simple trust. There was no reality to their action. It was merely an outward display of following Jesus. It was similar to the condition which we have in our world, where many people claim to be Christians who have never truly been born again through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice that in the text, it says that Jesus did not entrust himself to them. What in the world does that mean? Well, Jesus realized that they were coming to him out of curiosity. They were looking for something sensational and spectacular. Jesus knew whether their faith was real or only an imitation. Let us not forget, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He existed in eternity past. And when you read in the Old Testament about the appearances of God, where God appeared to Abraham and even ate with him, those are called Christophanies. Those are moments when Christ actually came to the earth, took on human form, and ministered. That's one example. Jesus there with Abraham. And then we know that Jacob wrestled with God. And also in Daniel, remember when the three were thrown into the fiery furnace? Even Nebuchadnezzar jumped up and says, "I see a fourth as the Son of God." Those were moments where Jesus was appearing on the scene long before his birth in the manger. Just because Jesus resided in a human body for 33 years doesn't mean that he ceased to be God. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, remember, she marveled because he knew that she had been married 5 times and that the person she was with now was not her husband. In John chapter 6, we read these words. John chapter 6, verse 64. "But there are some of you who do not believe." This is Jesus talking. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." So today, I would like to talk about the 5 reasons that you and I, if you love Jesus, you can rejoice in the fact that God is all-knowing, that God is omniscient. Yes, I don't know about Santa, but the Almighty sees all and knows all. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Reason number 1. You got your little handout there? That's the teacher in me. Filling in a little handout. I did this for years as a teacher of science. Helps the kids to understand concepts of science and remember some of the things that I was talking to them about, where they would fill in an outline with me. God's omniscience, ladies and gentlemen, means that he can never learn anything new. Nothing can surprise God or take him unaware. God is never blindsided. And as followers of Jesus Christ, this should give us extraordinary peace, security, and comfort in all areas of life. I've heard it said by former pastors of mine that one of the jobs of being pastor is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. So we'll see how this works out. Reason number 1, to rejoice that God is all-knowing. The omniscience of God assures our salvation. Think about it. We did not enter into a contract with God with stipulations for rescinding the contract if he discovered some undisclosed fault or defect in us. I remember when my father passed away. He was a heavy smoker. And when he passed away, a couple years before he did, he actually refinanced the mortgage. And he took out the insurance. If something happens, you know, or if you pass, they'll pay off the balance of the mortgage. But when he passed and we filed the paperwork, it was taking an unusually long period of time. So my mom was rather frustrated by the whole process. And so I said, "Well, Mom, give me the papers and let me read the application and all the paperwork." And in that paperwork, it asked, "Do you have any of these things?" And my dad checked, no on everything. But the one was emphysema. You see, the years of smoking had caught up with him. And he knew he had it. And he checked, no. So when he passed, you know how insurance companies investigate, right? They look to see if everything is lined up. And so as a result, because he had been not truthful with them on that particular area of the application, the request was denied. But you see, with God, We don't enter a contract where if God discovers something that we didn't tell him, some undisclosed little fact or defect in us, that he rescinds our salvation. Because you see, he knows all. He knows everything that we have ever done, are doing in the present, or will do tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. He knows us before the foundation of the world. What a thought. What an amazing thought. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, to rejoice that God is omniscient. The omniscience of God assures us of our present provision. There's the missing word, provision. God takes care of his own. You know, in our culture, we spend a lot of time and money on clothing and food and on this and on that. These are things that we all sometimes think we need. I've been binge watching the last few weeks Clean House on Twist Network and also American Pickers. Have you seen any of those programs? Clean House, where we're talking about people with good paying jobs and they live like they're in a dumpster. These nice homes, you know, they're just so cluttered with stuff. They don't even know what to do, so they call Niecy Nash, and she comes with her team, and she works with them, and they have a garage sale, and then they take the money, and then they use it to organize, clean, and spruce up the house. Or American Pickers. This one gentleman, last night when I was watching, he had 5 acres of property, and it looked like a giant junkyard. Now, he had it organized. There were appliances and sinks and old bathtubs and old vehicles and old, you know, mattress springs and you name it. But there it was, just sitting out in the elements. All of this stuff. I marvel. And sometimes we do the same thing with the Lord, where we think our provision is all on us. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talked about this. You know, if we love and trust him, you know, sometimes not realizing, but he knows all and he will provide. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus is talking to his disciples about this very aspect of worrying about everything. Worry about this and worry about that. Verse 25, Matthew 6. Therefore, Jesus said, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all things. Our all-knowing God provides. You know, that really hit home because last weekend, that Friday, when the snowstorm hit, I live in an all-electric house, and I count on Tulu Edison to keep the power going. And it blinked several times that morning. But at 8:30, last week Friday, when that snowstorm hit, poof, my lights went out. Okay, we'll be all right. We had everything turned up just in case. We had my wife had pans of water because, you know, the toilet doesn't flush when the pump doesn't work, when there's no power. So we were ready, but it was like, oh. Well, 8:30, went to 9:30, went to 10:30, went to 11:30. I'm putting some blankets over the windows because that wind was fierce and ferocious in the front of my house, like this building here. It faces that direction where the winds were coming from. And finally, it was sometime in the afternoon, maybe it was around 3:30, as I was laying all dressed up and bundled up under like three blankets, because I didn't feel like walking around the house in the freezing cold, I was just simply saying, Lord, you know our situation. We are yours, and I am just simply saying, please help us to have power again. It was around 7 o'clock at night, but the lights came on, and I gave God glory, and I was very thankful to Edison too. You know, thank you for whoever did whatever to get the power going again. But this idea that God knows and he provides. Now, we know that we have to have insurance policies. We know that warranty plans are important to have. I'm not saying anything negative about those. And God does expect us to work and take care of our resources as stewards. But we also have to realize that we're not able to see into the future. And so God, who has perfect knowledge of what tomorrow will bring, is able to provide for you today as well as into your future. That's reason number two. Reason number three, the omniscience of God assures our future. Our days are ordained. I don't know how long I have in this life. I'm shooting for the rapture. I'm waiting, like millions of Christians, for the blessed return of Jesus Christ when he calls us up to himself. But I am a man, mortal, who also realizes it's good to have life insurance to provide for my family. I'm not so foolish to say, well, who needs life insurance? You see, I'm a steward of what God has given. But I know this, that God's all-knowingness assures each of us of our future. Like the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is what? Gain. You're in the very best hands. You know, losing someone that you love is hard. But when they have given their hearts to Christ, I know we shall meet again. Because I have done the same thing. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of not only family, but dear friends that I have loved in Jesus over these 40 plus years that I have been a Christian. And many I've had to say goodbye to. But not so long, I'll never see you again. Goodbye until we meet again. Our days are ordained. And this is why David wrote in Psalm 139, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, there's this foreknowledge of God thing going on here. And in your book, they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. God knows what's going to happen in your tomorrow and your next day and the day after that. God told the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you, this is God talking to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This isn't just intellectual knowledge here. This is an intimate knowledge. I knew you. Before you were born, this is God talking to Jeremiah, sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. We can trust God will keep us alive until he is ready to take us home. We can live freely, ladies and gentlemen, and confidently knowing that our lives are in his hands. Reason number four. The omniscience of God assures us that justice will prevail. You hear a lot of people talking about social justice, environmental justice, justice for this, justice for that. Well, I assure you that God is all-knowing and he will provide perfect justice one day. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch, there we go, on the evil and the good. He knows the good, he knows the bad. In Job 34, we read, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness, no shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. God will bring perfect justice. But you know, you better be found in Christ. Because you know, when people say, why doesn't God just end this injustice? Why doesn't he just stop it now? Do you realize those who are outside of Christ are not going to welcome when Christ comes in perfect holiness and righteousness to rule the world? Only those who are loving him are going to say, "Go, Jesus, go." The others, it's not going to be a pretty day. But it will happen one day. And that's why we share our faith. That's why we tell people about the goodness of God, hoping that God will draw them to himself. Finally, our final reason to rejoice in the all-knowingness of God, number 5, the omniscience of God assures us that all questions have answers. They do. God knows all. So we can't stump him. In my former church, I had a dear brother in Sunday school. You always knew when he was thinking deep thoughts. And then he would just blurt out, "Question." And then he'd hit me with a theological question. You know, we can do that to God. But God is, I would be stumped sometimes. And so then, you know, the teacher in me, I've learned when I get stumped to just simply say, "Well, that's a good thought. What do other people think?" And then in the discussion of my other students who may be sharing thoughts, sometimes that helps to organize my thoughts. But you can't do that with God. You can't catch him off guard. Because Psalm 147, verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." Infinite. Did you catch that? Now, though we may never understand some things in this life, and there are things that I cannot give God's answer to. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? I don't know. I'm not God. So even sometimes I get caught off guard. I don't know what to say. I don't know what words to give because I don't know. But I know God does. And I know that you and I can trust him. And maybe on this side of glory, you'll not get your answer. Maybe you'll have to be in his presence when all questions will be answered. You always love people when they come up and say, "You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God these questions." And everybody that I've ever seen in Scripture, when they got a view of Christ in all of his holy glory, you didn't walk up to the throne room of heaven with your latte and say, "Hey, big guy in the sky, I got a question for you." You know what you do? You fall before his feet, going hubba, 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 hubba. In absolute holy respect and reverence and fear, maybe. I've never seen a prophet of God read the Bible. Nobody approaches the throne of God all sassy, you know, and all casual, because you are in the presence of the most magnificent being in the universe, the one who called things into existence. His perfect purposes will be for our good, always. And for his glory. That's why Paul said in Romans that God is able to take the ugly things of life, and to his children, he can work things out for his glory and for our good. If you would, let's turn in our hymnal to 583, a great song giving Jesus praise by singing, "You are my all in all." I hope Jesus is your all in all, because I can tell you he is to me. Thank you. We're going to close with this word of blessing from Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen." Lord bless you. Have an awesome first week of 2023.